Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Ukrainian forces are moving to retake territory north of the capital of Kyiv today. Ukraine's president says Russian forces are either being driven from their positions or abandoning them after announcing plans this week to scale down operations around the capital to focus on eastern Ukraine. In his latest video, Volodymyr Zelensky accused the Russians of leaving behind mines around homes and even dead bodies. A Ukrainian photojournalist, meanwhile, missing for more than 2 weeks, has been found dead today. North of Kyiv, at least six journalists have died since Russia's invasion began, as NPR's Nathan Rott reports.
Max Levin went missing on March 13th after heavy fighting broke out between Russian and Ukrainian forces in a neighborhood north of Kyiv. Levin, a 40-year-old freelancer and photojournalist, had worked for a number of Ukrainian and international news organizations over the years, including Reuters, the BBC, and the Associated Press. Much of his work focused on conflict between Russia and Ukraine. The Office of Ukraine's Prosecutor General says Levin appears to have been killed by Russian small arms fire, and it opened a criminal investigation into his death. He is survived by his wife, parents, and four sons. Nathan Rott, NPR News, Kyiv.
To Georgia now, which will soon no longer require a permit to carry a handgun. The bill to make that change a top priority for the state's Republican governor, Brian Kemp, who intends to sign it. Sam Greenglass, member station WABE, reports from Atlanta.
Currently, Georgians need a permit to carry a handgun. That requires applying at a local probate court or sheriff's office, a fee, and a background check. Soon, permits will be optional. Background checks would still be conducted when guns are bought in a retail setting, but some Democrats worry because guns are also given as gifts or sold privately when background checks aren't required. More than 20 other states have similar permitless carry laws on the books. Republicans have framed it as a crime-fighting initiative, and they're likely to highlight the new law as they head into the election season. For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Atlanta.
Voters in Costa Rica head to the polls tomorrow to elect a president in a runoff election. Maria Martin reports that even more than scandals surrounding the two candidates, a deteriorating economy hit hard by the pandemic, uppermost on voters' minds.
Costa Rican voters will choose between Rodrigo Chavez, an economist who once faced sexual harassment charges, and former President José María Figueres, who in the past was investigated for allegedly taking bribes. But their previous scandals are of less concern to voters than who'd be able to pull Costa Rica out of economic freefall. Almost one-fifth of voters are undecided.
And you're listening to NPR News. A court in Los Angeles has ruled that California's law that mandates the boards of publicly traded companies include underrepresented community members violates the state constitution. The decision by the L.A. County Superior Court came in a case filed by Judicial Watch, a conservative legal group. The judge in the case did not provide reasoning behind the decision, but Judicial Watch argued that the law violates the state constitution's equal protection clause. Final four games in the NCAA men's college basketball tournament are tonight. Villanova playing Kansas, and then Duke plays North Carolina for the right to advance to Monday's title game. In Duke's last home game of the season, the Blue Devils played North Carolina and lost. Again, they'll meet again tonight in the second semifinal in New Orleans, with not only the season on the line, but the career of legendary Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski, as Greg Eklund reports.
Duke won the regular season ACC championship, and now it has a chance to top that with a national championship. But Blue Devils coach Mike Krzyzewski says if the team is thinking more about him than themselves, it could be a repeat of the disastrous home finale.
To me, it's an opportunity, an earned opportunity. And if you feel that it's pressure, you probably won't do well.
This will be the third meeting of the season. Duke won the first game at North Carolina. They've played each other 257 times, but never before in the NCAA tournament. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund.
In the women's tournament, South Carolina and Connecticut play for the championship tomorrow. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.